Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight's sponsor is the Kamlak Center. You can find them on Kamlak, KAMLAK.com. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and once again, honored to be joined by this illustrious panel of Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And tonight's topic is one that's dear to our hearts. We're going to be talking about dazzle shots, and we affectionately call them dazzle shots, and we'll explain what we mean by that. And a lot of you have sent in these significant experiences to us over the past couple weeks, and we'll be reading some of those. And if you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you, and the number here is 1-888-627-6008. And before we get started, Fran will catch us up on what's going on.
Lots of things going on. Lots and lots of things going on. Okay, so just a reminder to everybody, check that event page regularly on the website. Don't wait for the radio show. You might miss out on something. Just go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you could click on upcoming events. There's also a blue box on the upper right-hand corner that will give you the first five or six events that are coming up immediately. But if you're looking for other things that might be interesting, you'll have to go click on upcoming events and go to the whole page. And to let our listeners know, we have free events coming up this month on April 8th from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The Afterlife Discussion Group meets in Sanibel, Florida on April 14th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern and simultaneously 11 to noon Pacific, the Visionary Explorers Group, they meet online. Also on April 14th from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, the Afterlife Discussion Group meets in Miami, Florida. I want to remind everybody not to miss out on the opportunity to win five medium readings in our Holiday of the Earth Raffle 2018. As of today, only 96 people have entered to win readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Amy Utzman, Angelina Diana, Dustin Livers, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, and Dave Campbell. The drawing is in less than 3 weeks on April 22nd, conveniently Earth Day. And the winners are selected randomly by a computer program from consecutive numbers that are assigned at entry. It is only $5 to enter. Mark your calendars and secure your tickets to our upcoming Afterlife Luncheon on May 6th. This event was a total sellout last October. It is an all-day event with two people who have all the answers. Lloyd Auerbach, one of the world's leading parapsychologists and a respected expert on ghost hauntings and poltergeist phenomena, teams up with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Kim Russo, star of the TV series The Haunting of, as she will connect with those in spirit who will lead her to their loved ones in the audience. Plan to be at the Hilton Long Island Huntington in Melville, New York for this full five-hour event, which includes raffle prizes and a scrumptious luncheon. Our next webinar coming up is Shamanic Cosmology and Visioning, presented by Itzhak Beery on Wednesday, April 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on your computer, complete with live questions and answers. All webinars are $6 for members, $20 for non-members. And remember, you don't have to travel. You can show up in your pajamas. if you haven't already signed up now for this summer's grief retreat in Chester, Connecticut, the week of August 17th through 19th, we are still months away, but this event is already half filled, and it is limited to only 50 attendees who will be spending an inspiring weekend with Carla Wills Brandon and Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Joe Peretta, Angela. Angelina, Diana, and Amy Utzman. Watch your email boxes. I think some notices have already gone out to our members only. For a special weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, this coming November 9th through 11th, when our social network feature, Mediums Behind the Scenes, goes live. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional nonprofits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great nonprofits. Back to you, Bob.
And as I mentioned, tonight's topic is dazzle shots. And before we get into that, I mentioned maybe it's a good idea to, because somebody might look at that and say, dazzle shot, what's a dazzle shot in terms of what we're doing? So anybody want to take a crack at what we are referring to when we say the term dazzle shots?
Oh, you're looking at me. Uh-oh.
I think we all have our different views of them. For me personally, I know that our deceased loved ones send us signs and do wonderful things with phone messages and turning on and off TV sets and lights and stuff like that. But dazzle shots are something that really move you to the core. It's like, oh my God, how could that possibly have happened? Those are the dazzle.
Yeah, the evidential ones. As Fran says, I mean, we find feathers, we see birds, we find coins, and we have known that that can be messages, but it doesn't necessarily, if you're walking with a skeptic, they could dismiss it easily. A dazzle shot is something that really can't be dismissed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, a dazzle shot, the way I think of it, is something that defies logic, you know, and then that
bristly logic.
It's hard for the skeptic to dismiss it. However, I will say that, and as Tom mentioned, a lot of people do have things like finding coins and feathers, and sometimes I find myself judging, you know, whether it's really a dazzle shot or not, and that's a mistake, because along with these experiences comes a feeling, and it could be something that somebody else might say is insignificant, you know, if it found a feather. However, along with that feather, there's this knowing that's inside that hits you like a ton of bricks, and you just know that it's a communication. So I wouldn't, I've made that mistake in the past. I wouldn't judge in terms of what's a dazzle. It's what that really means, you know, to the person, you know. So, and with that, why don't we start off by reading one? And as I mentioned, we did send out an email, and a lot of you thankfully sent in accounts of things that have happened. And if you want to call in during the show, feel free to do so with an experience that you may have had. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. Marion writes, my beautiful son was killed in Afghanistan on July 4th, 2007, at age 36. I did not believe that it would ever be possible to live without him. I talked to him constantly, wishing for needing a sign, some way of knowing that he still lived on, existed out there somewhere. In October of that year, at our cottage on Thanksgiving weekend, my son Jeff came to visit me. What I now know it was a lucid dream. He was wearing his camouflage army fatigues, the same shaven head, exactly as I had last remembered him. I was astonished as he appeared to me through a shimmering blue light and remember saying, Jeff, if it's really you, is it really you, you're really here. And him replying, yes, Mom, it really is me. I could feel his hugs, his face, and even the bristles on his shaven head. I remember asking him if he preferred to be there, to which he replied that he did not prefer to be there, but that it's a good place. He told me that he was worried about his son, 11 months at that time, growing up without him, and he not there to help raise him. We talked more, and then he said he had to go. I gave him my Support Your Troops bracelet, which I hadn't removed since his leaving for Afghanistan, wanting him to take it with him to show his grandmother and grandfather that he had been with me. He then faded back into the light, saying that he would be back. Upon awakening the next morning, I immediately remembered Jeff's visit, each and every detail extremely vivid and exact in my mind, unlike any other dream. When getting out of bed, anxious to reveal all to the rest of my family, I discovered the bracelet which I had given to Jeff folded within the comforter. Proof, verification for me that we had been together in some way, in some other dimension of reality. This visit from my son was a wonderful gift. Knowing he lives on and that we will be together again has given me the courage to live and work each day to survive this worst of all tragedies.
That's fantastic.
Well, that is
a dazzle shot. And even a skeptic, how could they poke holes in that? I mean, the bracelet is left? My goodness.
Yeah, and the thing that, you know, we often talk about the difference between these true visits and these so-called, you know, regular dreams is that, if you notice, she said that she talked to him. She could feel the bristles on his head.
And she remembers everything.
Every detail about it. That's true. So.
And it also changed the way she was viewing his passing.
Yeah.
She now had hope and understanding that everything was okay with him and that she was going to see him again. That's the key thing about these visits,
yeah,
is that they change you. They really do change you.
Yeah, the transform.
You know, to reiterate, those are probably the two most important points that we have seen, and that what people are looking for in helping with their grief is the one, knowing that the loved one is still in existence in some way, and two, that you will be reunited. And with those two aspects, you can go on with life.
Well, that's a good one to start off with, and I know we'll go to our first break. We have a lot more to get to. We'll be reading them. You're welcome to call in. So stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Ryan Research Center.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing. and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about what we call dazzle shots, and these experiences that are communications from loved ones and spirit, and those that make you realize that they are not gone forever, but they remain part of your lives. We're going to go to another one, and Catherine wrote this into us, and she wrote, my daughter, Georgina, was born in 1992 and was killed in a car accident in 2011. Her name allowed many, many nicknames, one of the nicknames was Gigi. When Georgina was learning to read and write, she phonetically wrote her name as G-G and insisted on that spelling even into her teenage years. On Mother's Day 2017, I asked Gigi if she could please let me know she was thinking of me by doing something over the top, something that even I wouldn't dismiss or doubt, because I still tend to do that. I still think I'm just fooling myself. I took the dog for a walk and was so thoroughly engaged in looking at the photos I've taken with my cell phone of the signs I have received in the past that I walked head-on into a parked car on the street. I grinned sheepishly at the dog and backed up a couple of paces. It was then that I noticed its license plate, and it was accompanied by this striking photo, and the license plate said, GG92.
Aww.
Wow. Oh, not only that.
There you go.
I love it.
That's a great dazzle shot.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
And thanks for sending that and sharing that, Catherine. And she wrote a P.S. My father, Gina's grandfather, preceded her in death by 8 years, and one of the only discernible EVPs I ever had, I asked him if they were still together. Quite clearly and distinctly, the word yes can be heard in my recording device.
Oh.
For Dad's Dan. So,
what we love hearing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, there again we talk about how significant signs are. So a lot of people say, well, license plates, coincidental. But here, Catherine is desperately asking for some powerhouse of and she walks into the car, and looks down, and there it's, and it's not only GG, but of course the year that she was born in 92. So,
evidence, indisputable evidence.
We have one from Chris, and Chris wrote, I woke up this morning to find an email message from my brother to me and our two other siblings, reminding us that today would have been our dad's 86th birthday. As I was reading the words in my brother's heartfelt email message asking each of us to remember to tell our father in spirit happy birthday, my cell phone froze for about 10 seconds, during which time I couldn't advance the page I was reading in my email or do anything else with the phone. I was sure that was my father making his presence known to me at that moment. About an hour later, when I was getting my children ready for school, I took one blue elastic ponytail holder out of the drawer to use on my younger daughter, Michelle's hair. I should note that most of our ponytail holders are black, and we only have a few that are in different colors, especially the blue color that I selected for Michelle's hair today. I carried that one blue ponytail holder in my closed hand for a short time as I walked downstairs to grab the hairbrush and back upstairs to the children's bedroom. I placed the blue ponytail holder on my older daughter, Margaret, on her bed while I brushed her hair. After finishing Margaret's hair, it was time for me to fix Michelle's hair. I turned to pick up the blue ponytail holder that was lying on Margaret's bed, and to my utter surprise, there were now two identical blue ponytail holders side by side on the bed. As crazy as it sounds, one ponytail holder had turned into two. To be sure, I asked Margaret, how many ponytail holders did I place on your bed before we brushed your hair? And she said, one, Mom, just one. A mystery for sure, but it absolutely happened. I ended up putting one of the two blue ponytail holders in Michelle's hair this morning and put the second one in my hair. I thank Dad for the efforts he has made today to let us know he is with us, and I won't be surprised if we experience more out of the ordinary happenings as the day continues.
I love it.
She wrote that on the day.
Yeah.
And the simplest little things, you know, can have so much meaning, and they really resonate with you.
Yeah. And I mean, if we analyze this, we're talking about psychokinesis, right? Moving material objects with your mind. You know,
hear that a lot, where somebody at night, and I know women do this a lot. You take out your earrings and you put the two earrings together down on a night table or someplace. And you get up in the morning and one is missing. So you figure, well, I knocked it down, the cat knocked it down. And then you're going nuts looking for this other earring. You can't find it. And then months later, well, you know, you're having a dream or something and you're reminded of that person. That person visits you in the dream. You wake up and there's the other earring saying, here, I found it for you.
Yeah.
Let me put it back from where I took it. But that's the interesting thing is that they have the ability to make something not only move but disappear, come away from the physicalness that we're accustomed to seeing it, and then having it materialize again.
Right, and then some people would say, "Well, how's that? Psychokinesis, you know, mind over matter is hard enough to believe, you know, when the people are living." So they say, "Well, how could that happen? Because you know, the person's you know dead, he's deceased, not in the physical." But if we believe that their consciousness still survived, then I mean consciousness is synonymous with mind. So just because they don't have a physical body doesn't mean they can't do psychokinesis, you know, from their end.
Okay, so now I have to give a plug for the November convention because Lloyd is going to be there, Lloyd Auerbach, and he's having one of the classes that are being taught is going to include spoon bending, which is basically the same thing. Yeah, we happen to have one of the spoons here. Too bad we're not on TV. From the last time that he taught the class. I mean, but you could take these spoons that nobody can bend, and mind over matter, all of a sudden everybody in the classroom is bending these spoons into beautiful shape. So it's quite...
We had to eat with our hands, but...
Yeah. Well, what we had to do was stop them once they learned that they could do this from going to a restaurant and destroying all of their silverware. But that's the plug. If you want to learn how to spoon bend and have your mind take over matter, then plan on joining us the weekend of November 9th through 11th in Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
Good idea.
And this one from Marilyn, who writes, on November 16th, 2017, I was in my bedroom dressing when I heard my husband call my name from downstairs. His voice was not in my head. It was very clear, and he sounded as if he was fed up with waiting for me. My husband left this earth in July 2014. This was a profound experience for me, and I know now for sure that we will be together again.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of people question if, you know, when the voice is coming from, you know, like, for lack of a better description, inside their head, you know, this was clearly not that. She knew she wasn't imagining. She heard it audibly, and she said, "It's not in my head. I heard him calling me." You know, and with the personality, because evidently he did get disturbed when she was taking his name, right?
That is cute. But I have to share that in all of the people we've spoken to and all the stories that we've heard, that you do hear their voice in different ways. Sometimes you will hear it inside your head.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'll say, well, that was just me thinking of it or remembering their voice exactly the way I spoke. But in her case, where she heard it from downstairs, you know, that, you know, I mean, I'm pointing out that it happens both ways, but from me listening to the story, that's a wow moment when you hear it not in your head, because you can't say, oh, I was just thinking of it.
In a dazzle.
Yep.
And we have, here's an interesting one from Gina. Gina writes, shortly after my son Louis' passing and on leave from work, my boyfriend and I would walk a lot. It was early spring, and I began to notice a succession of sounds. It always began with the wind chime, and usually followed within seconds, 20 to 30 seconds, with either a plane, and then a train, or vice versa. I felt chills as I would hear wind chime melodies. It always felt as if my son was trying to get my attention to give me a brief reprieve from my grief. Because this happened so frequently and brought such comfort, I thought I would like to get a wood chime for my yard. But for one reason or another, I didn't get around to it for a few months. One Sunday afternoon after Christmas holiday, my boyfriend and I were out running some errands. We had heard wind chimes earlier that morning as we were walking, and he suggested we take a trip to the local garden shop on our way home. It was about 5 p.m. as we approached the store, but the store closed at 5 p.m. I hadn't checked the hours, assuming it closed at the typical 6 p.m. Sunday closing time retailers. Clearly disappointed, we continued to drive home, but I was so lost in thought and grief, you could have heard a pin drop. Pulling into the driveway, I noticed a brown bag with handles on my doorstep. I couldn't imagine where it came from. I brought the bag inside and opened it up, and there was a wrapped rectangular box inside. As I unwrapped the box, an overwhelming chill came over me. Inside the box was a butterfly wind chime, and the butterfly representation is another synchronicity that happened during his burial. My boyfriend and I looked at each other with dropped jaws. I was in total amazement. I felt momentarily paralyzed as he said, well, who's it from? And I found a small card inside that said, Merry Christmas from, she X'd it out. He was a close friend of my son's. I hadn't really heard from any of his friends since the previous summer. And if you knew them, they definitely weren't the sentimental wind chime gift-giving type. I immediately contacted him to thank him. I told him he could not imagine what that gift meant to me. But I had to ask, what made you choose to give this to me? And he said, I'm not sure why. I happened to be shopping for Christmas gifts with my girlfriend, and when I saw this, it made me think of you and Louie. She said, that was all I needed to hear. The synchronicities were too amazing to overlook.
Aww. That's a sweet story.
Now, I would think her son had influenced his friend.
Put the thought in his head.
Put the thought
in.
Got the intention.
Well, he said, he told him, made me think of you and Louie.
Yeah.
So,
always amazing how this chain of events works, you know, getting messages and things and getting things to play out. Like you said, that sounds logical to me, putting the thought into the friend's head and pulling it all together.
Yeah, but when we talk about being on a bigger journey, you know, and we talk about a series of events that brought us to a certain place, isn't that exactly the same thing, just over a longer period of time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if there's a bigger universal force that's making us follow a certain journey, then why wouldn't there be a universal force or a spirit force that can make a butterfly wind chime show up in your mail?
Hey, so Renee writes, I've had many afterlife experiences since my son Stephen made his transition in 2006. I've been thinking about one to mention for your show. However, Steve must have heard my thoughts. Last night I woke up after 3 a.m., and like so many other times, I felt subtle energy, saw a white light vibrating. I tried to fall back to sleep, and then in my mind's eye, I saw a large white house. As I was just falling asleep, I heard Mommy, almost electronic sounding. I was thinking all day about this house. I'm a real estate agent in Westchester and looked at the new listings that came on. The total was 54. Stephen's special number is 54. It's his calling card when he wants to let me know he's around. That number has been guiding me with so many synchronistic events for the past 12 years. Connections never severed when we leave the physical plane. Number synchronicities.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've talked about them, Tom. I know you you have some, and pretty common, you know, for some unknown reason, or maybe it's our loved ones that are making it happen. Yeah. These numbers keep popping up.
I had a brief experience the other day. It was last week, and it's not as dazzling as these wonderful stories that we're reading, but it made me stop and think, because I had a friend on Facebook, an author friend, who had sort of inspired me to write my own book, and she'd moved to Poland, and she posted on Facebook that her daughter's second birthday was coming up, and she gave her address. She said, it's only 2 stamps to mail a card to Poland. Well, I thought, since this gal had inspired me, I should send her daughter a copy of my picture book. And even though she's only 2, I thought, you know, eventually she'd be older, and because of her mom's inspiration. Well, the interesting thing about the connection I felt with this mom and daughter, and I'd only met the mom once, is that she and I share the same birth date. But then when her daughter was born, several years after I met her, she happened to post on Facebook that the baby was born at 1:41 a.m., which is the exact time I was born, 1:41 a.m., as was my daughter, 1:41 a.m., and it's also a very significant number to Tom and his family, and so that's kind of been our number. And I went to the post office thinking I'll, you know, mail this little girl my book with a little inscription in it. And it was kind of expensive to mail a book. It was a lot more than 2 stamps on an envelope. But I thought, you know, and I thought about it. I thought about it. This is crazy to be spending this much money to send a book to Poland. But the more I thought about it, I go, no. How often does that happen, that 140, that connection that I felt with this little girl? So I went ahead and I mailed it and, you know, sort of, was that a good idea? And I got back in the car and I turned it on. It said 1:41.
Okay. It was a confirmation that you did okay.
That's how I felt.
It's interesting because just about 10 minutes ago, I came in on something that was connected to this, and I don't know why, but now that you're talking about it, I got to bring it up. Like, as Melissa mentioned, 1:41 was kind of my dad's number. There's a lot around that number for him. And he passed before my mom, and I'm now realizing that my mom crossed over on October 4th of 2010, which is 10-4-10, and without the zeros, it's 1:41. So she passed on a 1:41.
Wow.
Did we ever think of that?
No,
before?
No. And it could have even been at 1:41 in the morning for all we recall.
Right. Well, we were with her.
I think numbers are an amazing thing. I mean, when you start to play with them, you can understand why Einstein became so preoccupied with equations and things.
Right. Here's one from Diane. Diane was talking to a deceased loved one, and she said synchronicities crop up. For instance, in the drawer next to your seat, now mine, one day for the first time I noticed a little phone message tape in the drawer. On a hunch, I dug the relevant telephone out of the garage and plugged it in. The message light flashed, and I pressed the play button. It was you, saying you were out shopping, and I could expect you home about 12:30. I glanced at the clock and saw that it was exactly 12:30 then. Shivers, I tried to replay the tape to hear your voice, but was unable.
Oh.
Wow.
And she had another one that, again, you know, talking to her deceased husband. 3 years after your death, when I'd given up expecting any overt signs, I was startled by the most suggestive of all odd objects. Atypically, I had agreed to a coordinated church bazaar. Of course, bazaars, along with thrift stores and garage sales, were your favorite treasure hunting grounds, but I was too busy supervising the sale to think of you until my eye fell on a small glass vase that had been painted, perhaps by a child, in rainbow colors. I said to myself, Elio would probably buy that. No sooner had I sub-vocalized your name than I spotted another identical vase on which ELI was spelled out in red nail polish, punctuated by a big red dot that signified the price, and completed your name, Elio.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Thanks for that. These are, you know, you can call them what you want. You know, you can call them coincidences and synchronicities, but they're pretty meaningful. So we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we have lots more to read. If you want to call in with one, you're welcome. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Hey,
and welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, where we're reading dazzle shots that you sent in, and we're grateful for everybody that shared them. Here's one from Mike. He says, I'm not sure the following experience is a dazzle shot, but here goes. My wife transitioned just 1 year ago this month. A day or two after the funeral, my youngest daughter posted a photo of Joan, my wife, holding her as a toddler. That night, at 1:11 a.m., Joan liked the posting. No one but my daughter and I knew Joan's Facebook login, and we were both sleeping at the time. After that experience, we inquired about 111, and we learned that it's a sign from the angels. Since that time, there have been too many 111s appearing everywhere for us. In fact, my daughter has gotten a new license plate. 111 lives. That's great, Mike. And there you go with the, you just talked about 141 is 111. That's the first account I heard of a like from the other side.
Yeah, that's
that is very, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Thanks for sharing that, Mike. Marla wrote, one that touches me most deeply is just after my mom passed in 2007. She left 11 years ago during a vicious nor'easter ice storm. Her funeral was a few days later. The morning after, I stepped outside on my deck to clear my head. A few weeks prior, I had placed a basket of spent flowers on that deck, and lo and behold, one bloom had risen to greet me that morning despite the frigid February air. I 100% believe my beautiful mom was sending me a comforting message that her spirit and journey continued joyously. And of all the myriad of flower colors that once bloomed in the basket, it was the purple flower that greeted me. Mom would have known that purple was my favorite color. And she sent a picture of the basket of dead flowers that were totally,
beautiful,
you know, gone, and with this, you know, bloom of the purple, you know, in the frigid, you know, weather. So that's
stories like that that probably makes her glow.
Yeah. Here's one from Monique. My mother's best friend passed away in November of 2002. It was sudden and extremely devastating for her children. I received many comforting messages for both my mom and Paul and Mickey, the adult children, but one dream brought great comfort to the family. I was standing in my driveway, and the garage door was open behind me. As I turned around, there was Paulette floating in a beautiful white gown inside the garage. Startled, I told her how much everyone missed her and how loved she was. And she replied, tell them I'm having a blast, and then she disappeared. I woke up because it was so impactful. The next morning, I immediately called my mom to deliver the message, and she told me Paul and Mickey were coming over for dinner that night. It was a very healing message for the adult children to know their mother was doing well. Well, there you go. We were just talking about how sometimes, for whatever reason, people in spirit can't get through to the main person, but they get a message through somehow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
and she must have known that she was going to see them.
That's right.
That the connection was going to be made, and they would get the message.
Yeah.
That was kind of an experience I had this afternoon with a friend who I had lunch with, and she was sharing that a very dear friend of hers had passed away after a short and extremely serious illness. And my friend said, I think about her all the time, but I just don't get any signs from her. I said, I talked a little bit about, well, do you know what to look for? What kind of signs? And she started to tell me a little bit more about her friend. They were so touching, so unique. But the most significant thing to her was about her friend's shoe, interest in shoes and buying shoes, and even in her friend's casket, she put a gift card to one of the shoe stores that was covered in shoes into the casket. So then in the next life,
in case she could shop at DSW.
So when I left her, I'm just thinking, gee, you know, I hope she sees some signs. And I get in my car. She drives me to my car, and I get in my car, turn it on, and the radio's playing, and a lyric from a song. It's I'm going to get to heaven all right, and I just thought, I don't even know this song, but I'm hearing these words jump out at me. So I stopped the car to send a text to my friend to say, you won't believe what I just heard. And when I open up my text area, there's already an emoji in the text box, and it's a little angel's head with a halo around it. And
hello.
Then I send her that message, and then I continue on my way to visit my mother, and my brother-in-law, who's just often a little standoffish, couldn't have been warmer or more friendly and chatty, and he tells me, I knew my sister wasn't going to be there. My sister was at work. But he says, I don't know where your sister is. She's probably at the shoe store. Not like she needs any more shoes. I just sent my friend that message, too. I said, you know what? Maybe your friend is sending signs for me to share with you.
Right.
And she agreed.
Right. We need to always pay attention. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, what we call a dazzle shot, and this was an older one, but I came across it, and Tom wrote in when we asked if we had a dazzle shot. I said, yeah, I have, but instead of dazzle shot, I call them hugs from heaven.
Aww.
And as our listeners may know, that Melissa makes hugs from, that's her company.
That's her company.
Hugs from
sure.
heaven, and she makes these clothing.
And Hugs from Heaven sponsors our grief retreat.
Right. So maybe that was a little synchronistic message for you. And then he just described them as
product placement at the same time.
Very warm, uplifting, loving, and surreal. No particular loved one seems to say they're there. It's just a room full of light, warmth, and reassurance. Godly but brief. Pretty good, you know, description.
The writing on these is tremendous.
Yeah. Monique wrote another one. She said, my father died 2 weeks after my youngest son was born. I call him my gift from God because he arrived 2 weeks early, allowing enough time to see my father before he crossed over. I often wondered what I would do, how I would react if I should ever see my father in a crowd. Well, I had my chance. One afternoon while waiting to pick up my children from preschool, there was a gentleman in the parking lot with car problems. I couldn't help but notice how much his looks, stance, and mannerisms resembled my father's, to the point where I kept telling my friend how much that man reminded me of my dad. I silently told myself if the opportunity presented itself, I would stop and chat with him. Rounding my kids into the car, we drove past the man who happened to be busy now with the tow truck driver, so I didn't stop. As I'm waiting at the stoplight to turn left, I noticed the normally busy intersection was exceptionally slow, and the thoughts of that man in the parking lot wouldn't go away. Something took over as I put my car in reverse, backing up far enough to pull into the parking lot. I raced in, and by the time I parked, I was in tears. I got out of the car, ran up to the man, and threw my arms around him.
Oh.
He held me. No questions asked, he just held me. To this day, it brings me tears. Still embracing, I told him I recently lost my father, and that he reminded me of him, even though he was a little younger. He continued to hold me, hugging me tight, just like a father would hold his child who was hurting. The embrace was comforting and loving and long. I asked if he had children. He said yes. I told him, go home and tell them how much you love them, because you just never know. I never saw that gentleman again, but I know it was my father giving me one last hug, because that is when my true healing began. I thank him every day for that beautiful gift.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, there's one that I wanted to read, and this is not somebody, one that sent in. We actually showed a video of this at I think, at a grief retreat about the chicken runs at midnight.
Oh.
This doesn't give it justice, because it's you know, when you see the and hear the interview, it's more powerful. But Rich Donnelly, the manager of the Brooklyn Cyclones, is known for his unusual catchphrase, "The chicken runs at midnight." The phrase originated with his deceased daughter, Amy, who at the age of 17 was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Amy was a big baseball fan, and while Donnelly was a coach for the Pittsburgh Pirates, he brought his ailing daughter to a playoff game. After seeing her father shouting instructions to his players, Amy said, "Dad, what are you telling those guys? The chicken runs at midnight or what?" The silly phrase that caught on, And although Amy had to miss the final game of the series, she sent a written note to the clubhouse that said, "The chicken runs at midnight, love Amy." Amy passed at age 18 in 1993, but the phrase has followed Donnelly from team to team ever since. 4 years after Amy's death, Donnelly's team, then now the Florida Marlins, actually won a World Series. The team had a player, Craig Counsell, who everyone called Chicken Man due to the fact that he flapped his arms when he was up at bat. I remember that. Counsell scored the winning run after Donnelly sent him home from third base. As soon as Counsell crossed home plate, Donnelly looked up at the clock and saw it was exactly midnight. And Donnelly's son burst into tears and yelled, "Dad, the chicken ran at midnight." That is the coolest story.
Yeah, we do have a video, and actually we will be showing it at this grief retreat in August.
What I like about it is, you know, his daughter who was diagnosed and serious illness, and she didn't know why she said it.
He asked her, and she said, "I don't know why, just came out of my mouth."
Her head. And then, you know, to have her seemingly, you know, make it play out, you know, and to get them to recognize it, just incredible, you know. I really like that one.
Do we have time for a follow-up story?
We've got 3 minutes.
All right. Well, last weekend was opening weekend for baseball. I had the pleasure of being able to accompany a group of kids who were going to sing the national anthem at Citi Field for the Mets. And when my son was born, up until he pretty much went to college, every year my father and myself and my son would go to a Mets game. And you know, my father just loved that, obviously, so did I. So going out to Citi Field, I was thinking about my father a lot, about how we would go to the games. And, in fact, they were playing the Cardinals, and we used to live in St. Louis. And I have an autograph of Stan Musial, so, you know, the Cardinals are important. And I was thinking about my dad a lot. So we go down to the field, the kids sing the national anthem, and then the Mets had given a bunch of tickets for the kids to watch the game afterwards. So we go up to the stands to find our seats, and it was section 141.
There you go.
So I said,
"Hello,
Dad." You're with me again.
I really didn't want to bring this up, but I think that's the only game the Mets lost this year, don't you?
Oh, no, they won.
Oh, they won. Okay. Oh, that you're a good luck charm, and your dad was too.
Dad was.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everybody who wrote in with your...
magnificent stories.
Yeah, keep them coming, because we'll be doing more shows like that. So just send them in.
Yeah, they're always good to
radio
hear.
It for every family, family.
Evidence. Okay, we now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Michael Tim, Glenna Irwin, Diane Archangel, Ed O'Brien, Evelyn Ingram. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.